Father, how high, how deep, how wide. Your love so high that it came down from heaven onto our level ground. It's so wide that it took in the sins of the whole world. And it's so deep that even beyond the grave, it cannot be restrained. Your love is great for your church. Your love is great for the people of God. Might today we get a fresh wind in our spirit, where we know just how high, just how wide, just how deep the Father's love is for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the people of God say, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to find Genesis 18. I love the book of Genesis. I love the story of Abraham. I think I love it so much because it's so earthy. What do I mean by that? If you really read the Bible, you know, and you don't just tell select stories. If you really read the Bible, you consistently find out that people aren't the heroes of the story. God's the hero of the story. And Abraham is just a real earthy guy who's made a lot of real earthy mistakes, and God still has to deal with Abraham down on his level. And I find that greatly encouraging, because I already know I'm not even the hero of my own story, not less anyone else's. And I already know that if Abraham, with as little as he had to work with, could walk with God, then by all means, having so much more to work with. In other words, I'm on the other side of the cross, amen. I have a full book from God. Then I know that this God is going to be faithful to me with my tools as well. Genesis chapter number 18. If I were to have to give a 5-minute sermon, don't worry, I'm not, or be worried, I'm not. Take your pick. I would have to say verse 14 is so critical. It's the charge. It's the charge to, this time particularly, to Sarah. Sarah, I'm asking you, is anything too hard for the Lord? And what's funny to me is that word hard can be translated into marvelous and wonderful. Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there anything too marvelous for the Lord? And that question is one we wrestle with all the time. In questions of our resources, our supply, our emotional stability, to look at our future, to wonder about our present worries, this is the question we find ourselves wrestling with all the time. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, spoiler, it's not. But I love how God deals with Abraham. God comes and visits Abraham and deals with Abraham, and he gives me great hope that for myself, for people I care about, for the people I have been charged to under-shepherd, that this God is still the exact same today as he was then, and he will deal with us too. Say amen, church. So without further ado, Genesis 18, beginning at verse number 1. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." And that's exactly the way the Lord said it. I'm just telling y'all. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your scripture, more importantly, cause your scripture to look into us. You tell us your word is a mirror. You tell us your word is like a hammer. You tell us your word is like a fire. You tell us your word is able to pierce through to our very souls. Your word is good for instruction and correction. Your word never goes out void, nor does it return empty. So do a thing with your word that can only be explained by your power. In Jesus I pray, amen and amen. Well, because I led us in an hour-long a cappella singing, I'll try to be brief. Let's jump right into it. First, I want us to see a big truth. Over a meal of fellowship, God affirms his peace with his people. Over a meal of fellowship. Now, there's so many things I could say. I don't have time to say them all. Trust me. Study the passage. Dig in. But one thing I want to highlight without spending a lot of time on it is the Lord appears. And this seems to be a Christophany. That's an old-fashioned way of saying a pre-incarnation manifestation of God the Son. Christophany. Now, let me take all them big words out. Jesus done showed up. Amen? God the Son done showed up. And he's not clothed in flesh, but he's clothed as one of flesh. In other words, he looks like a regular fellow to a certain degree. And there's some argument about how many Christophanies there are in the scriptures. If somebody's really interested in that, provoke me and I'll do a bonus video or something this week. If you're not really interested, just trust me. And some would say, what about that thing last week? Was that a Christophany or was it an angelophany? And I don't even know if angelophany is a real word, but it's going to be after today. Some of these things are up for the debate. I'm here to tell you this one in Genesis 18 is not. The Lord done showed up, y'all. This is what we would clearly call a Christophany. He has appeared, and not only has he appeared, I believe along with this Christophany is an angelophany. In other words, he brought some of his posse. Apparently his posse's on Mamre. And there is the Lord, and there is some angels, and he has come in a most peaceful fashion. Now, we should always find this surprising. Why should we find this surprising? When God made the heavens and the earth, and he made man and woman, he gave them one commandment, and that command was, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why, church? Who remembers? Not just die, but what? That lady Shirley is all over the Bible. You will surely die. Surely die. So that everyone hasn't always been annihilated unto death forever. In other words, crushed unto a forever dying is a symbol and a sign and a surety of God's mercy. And that anyone is shown his kindness is amazing. It's amazing. So the Lord shows up, and he's not showing up in wrath. He is showing up in fellowship and in peace. And I find this very interesting, especially when you start to think beyond the Christophany until the incarnation. In other words, the habit of the Lord is to show up and do something. The greater habit of the Lord is to show up in peace. Now, in Genesis 19, these angels, and I don't think they'll have a Christophany, I think the Lord sends his boys over to Sodom. And we'll get to that story in due course, but if you know it at all, it doesn't go well. I think he they come in the same spirit of peace, seeking those who would walk in peace and discovering the vileness of the people they wind up under judgment and wrath. So if you juxtapose these two stories, look immediately at not only how Abraham, the head of the household, receives them, but the retinue, the household of Abraham. These visitors are met with graciousness. Let's look at that very quickly. I want you us to see very quickly that it is the Lord who initiates fellowship with Abraham and Sarah. It's the Lord who initiates this. Why is this significant? It's significant because all have fallen short of the glory of God. None seek after God. No matter how close or how far away we are from the Lord, whenever he shows up, he's the one starting the conversation. Now, somebody might say, I was just thinking about the Lord. He gave you the thought. In other words, he was prepping you for a meeting. Somebody might even be sitting here and say, I haven't been to church in years. I just felt like coming. Bang, bang. That notion came from the Lord. The motion came from the Lord. Our volition is to run away from him. Our condition is to be dead and separated from him. So if you got some notion followed by some motion, it's the Lord rocking your ocean. Bars. Now, what I find interesting is he meets with Abram at the trees there in Mamre. And this is significant. When Abraham moved to Mamre, he came back into the promised land out of Egypt. He built an altar there. We saw that in Genesis 13. He worshiped there, and apparently he stayed for some time there. He returned there more than once. We know when he and Lot divided the land, Abram went back to Mamre. We know later on in the Bible that he's going to bury Sarah in Mamre. We know that later on, much later on, that he himself will be buried here and that his son Isaac will be buried here. This seems to be an important place. It's interesting to me how God will bring us to places to communicate with us. And it's not always a geographical place. Like you ask Meredith and Matt Acree, and they would tell you that God has brought them to Snowbird down in the mountains many times, and they've felt the presence of the Lord there. I cannot tell you how many times in the quietness of sermon preparation. In other words, it doesn't matter whether I'm in my office or if you come to my house, you'll see my weird little living room office, or I'm there, or I might be reading something in preparation. The other day I was sitting at a bluegrass festival reading a theology book. And in this preparation, so many times the Lord has broken through my busyness in this special place, this special arena of study. You may have a geographical place, or you may have a life position. In other words, some of us don't get our antenna up until our behinds are down. Who knows what I'm talking about? I seem to be one of them hard-headed people that the Lord does not mind putting his foot in my behind to make me listen. But I would rather hear from him with his foot in my behind than not hear from him at all. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But these oaks of Mamre are important. And so you might say Abraham went there to hear from the Lord. No, Abraham was drawn there to hear from the Lord. Abraham stayed there till he heard from the Lord. So it is God who initiates this. That's what verse 1 tells us. The Lord appeared. Did anybody catch what Abraham was doing? He's chilling. He's sitting by his tent door. He's probably drinking Arnold Palmer and eating a honey bun. You know, he's laid back with his mind on his money and his money on his mind. Sipping on sweet tea. I just wonder, am I alone today? I feel alone up here. I see I'm not. The other sinners are with me. He's just going through the motions of life, and God shows up. You know, have you ever been in that time, in that place? You could be at work, you could be riding down the road, you could be mowing your grass. Have you ever had any thoughts like these? Just start to raise your hand if you've ever had any thoughts like these. I should read my Bible more. I would like to be a better praying person. You know, I'd like to get into a Bible study with some people. You know, have you ever thought, wow, I really wanted to get to know the people at church better. Anybody ever had those thoughts? Every time, that's the Lord. That's the Lord calling you and pushing you. Now, if you raised your hand on any of those, raise your hand again. Hold them up, stop. This ain't gonna kill y'all. You ain't gonna become a Pentecostal overnight. I mean, in Jesus' name, hold with me here. Now, have you ever known one of those notions and let it pass without acting on it? Are you faithful every single time? I'm not. All hands down at some point. I just might have to name more examples. I'm here to tell y'all, if you're going through life and you get some notion to dig deeper in your faith or to start a journey of faith, let me tell you who's initiating that. It is the Lord visiting you at your tent door. That's the Lord. I love how in the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, I didn't put it up here because if I did, I'd start preaching on it. I'm going to do it anyway, but that would be worse and longer. He says, listen, if you have the word of faith in your mouth, right? Let it out. How did it even get there? The Lord himself put it there. In other words, if you have a notion to make a confession and a profession, then it's God himself who's dealing with you. Does anybody find this comforting besides me? Secondly, I think it's interesting. Abraham responds with hospitality. In verses 3 through 5, and I think some of this stuff is sort of the clues to how we know in particular this is a Christophany. One big clue is the third word of verse 1 is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord. Or as the prophetess Medea would say, the Lord. But another thing is Abram responds with hospitality, and there's a quickness to his step. Now this is very interesting. He goes in, he goes very quickly to bow down to them. Then he goes very quickly into the house to talk to Sarah, and he says, Sarah, we need to make up some of them honey buns. Girl, you need to get it right. Make some of that good bread you make, you know, and get out the good butter. You know, don't get out the margarine. Get out the good stuff. And then he runs out to see a servant, and he says, take this cow, this young cow right here, and let's slice it and dice it. We think need steaks. Come on. And just like always, it's Father's Day. You know, women, they get taken to the restaurants. Men have to fire up the grill. Ain't nobody laughing. You know I'm right, telling the truth. Abraham initiates this meal of hospitality, and I believe one of the clues that tells us Christophany, even before Abraham fully realizes what's going on, he knows there's something different going on, and this older man is running about. Old men didn't run. Old Jewish men didn't run. That was considered undignified and disgraceful. Yet these guys have showed up. He's ran about at their feet. He's ran to talk to his wife. He's ran to deal with the servants. So it's a lot of hurrying, but have you thought about it? It takes a while to make bread. Say amen. It takes a while. I mean, today we get annoyed. Oh my goodness, I have to drive 10 minutes to Food Lion, and I've got to go pick something out. Well, imagine going out behind your house and having to kill something and gut it and skin it. Now, many of y'all, I'm going to say y'all because I know I do. I would have the intestinal fortitude to get to the steak. Amen. I'd be out there both feet up on that cow's haunch pulling the skin off of him. I'm getting my meat. But some of y'all, just when you started the bloodletting, you say, I think I'd like a salad. You know I'm right. Some of us can't stand the thought of pulling everything out to make a sandwich. We say, I'll have an orange. You know I'm right, don't you? I see the pain on your faces. So Abraham is running about as fast as he can in a very slow process. Come on now, I need to preach to y'all tonight. Some of us say, if I obey the Lord right now, it's still a very long time before I'll see the fruit. You better hurry. Hurry in your part and trust him for his part. I just love how he responds with hospitality. And you know, every once in a while, you have to imagine the people of that day. You know, can you imagine they're wearing different kinds of clothes, right? Can you imagine this 90-some-year-old man hiking up his garments? Sarah, get the good flour. That's why they didn't do it. It was undignified. See, when you really get to worshiping the Lord, you could give a rip about your dignity. He's worthy of the loss of our dignity. He's worthy of hands raised in the congregation, of tears shed at the altar. He's worthy of open confession. Also, we see this. Abraham hurries to be gracious as Sarah and the household work to make hospitality tangible. As Sarah and the household work to make hospitality tangible. In other words, he's doing a lot of offering. And a lot of the other people are doing a lot of working. Amen. I can tell you, side note, I see the time. Side note, I feel this way as a pastor a lot. You know, like I think it was Michaela, or Mary Lou, one of those two, said, hey, could maybe your Life Together group feed 40 people for us? This is how easy. Sure, we can. And what did I do with my big mouth? I committed everybody. Fortunately, I see the heart of my Life Together group, because the moment I told them, they're like, bet, let's go. Right? So imagine, so you see that illustration, right? Amen? Now imagine Abram says, hey, we got some guests. I want y'all to do all this. Let's go. In other words, his response and the community with him responding showed a lot about everything going on there. Fast forward to Genesis 19. Lot is gracious. His neighbors are nuts. So Abraham hurries to be gracious, but they have to do the painstaking work to follow through and make it tangible. Now, don't miss this, and we'll move on and end very quickly. Don't miss this. The Lord comes and reassures them in a promise over a meal. Did anybody think of any other things in the Bible? How about the Lord's Supper? He reassures them over a meal. How about Revelation chapter number 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb? All of these things, dinner with the Lord under the oaks at Mamre, it's the terebinth of Mamre. The Lord Jesus celebrating the Passover with bread and wine. All of these are tiny, shadowy reflections of what he's really calling his people into, and that is the marriage feast of the Lamb, which will go on through eternity. Ain't that cool? Secondly, I'll just keep saying quickly because you'll believe it. Our guests have no idea till you laugh. Secondly, because God is and is able, he expects his people to believe his promises and trust his power. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something that would be totally impossible today, and because you're looking at me today, you won't believe this about the past. Maybe I should step out, you know, okay? You know, people always say, they see me in my three-piece suit, they say, Tim, you look sharp. And my running joke that I never get tired of telling is it's hard to look sharp when you're round. Ba-dum-bum. I used to be able to to dunk a basketball. Now, I say that now, and kids always say, in what? Some coffee, you know? Are you talking about one of those little people goals, you know? And I used to play basketball with some very skilled people. Now, I was not an offensive star. I wouldn't have been the guy who would have, you know, even if it was the pros, you wouldn't have seen da-na-na-na-na-na. It wouldn't have been me. I'd have been the guy falling down and stuff. But I played great defense. And so I don't know if you know this, but everybody thinks they're Michael Jordan, right? And so if you're a defensive player and you go play pickup ball, you can run all day. Because they're glad to have somebody who will play defense. Somebody who, you know, and trust me, if I get the ball back in them, come get it. The only thing I can dribble is saliva. Right? So when I tell those stories, it makes sense for you to laugh. I got another one. I used to be a long-distance runner. I'm telling y'all. Long distance to me right now is if I had to walk twice as far to get to my car. It's parked right there. If I had to go down the hill, that'd be a long distance run, he said. So I tell this story now, and you go, yeah, right. I ran one marathon one time. My goal was to finish in the half, you know, 50 percentile. I finished under the 25 percentile, and I says, I'll never do any better. Let me quit this foolishness. Now, why do I say this? Because the prophet Bruce Springsteen said what? Glory days. They'll do what? What will they do? Dave Solomon, what will they do? They'll pass you by. You better know the answer to that one. Y'all know that song? Glory days. They'll pass you by. Glory days. Something in a young girl's eye. I don't know. Our glory days pass. The Lord changeth not. The capacity of power with which he made the world out of nothing, he possesses to the 100th percentile today. So when he tells these guys, listen, you're going to have a baby. And they go, yeah, great. Well, it's not working. Here, have a relationship with Hagar. He goes, no, knuckleheads. You guys are going to have a baby. Abram, your name is now Abraham. You need to think bigger. Sarai, your name is Sarah. Think different. Let me move you into the change that you don't feel the power and the ability to do, but for me, it's no problem. You remember, I thought it'd be great to have a universe. Universe. You think if I can make swirling galaxies, I can't make a baby out of a crusty old womb? That's okay. It was. She thought it was crusty herself. I'm part of the Her Too movement. That's what she said. It's Father's Day. I do get something, right? I mean, guys, don't think I'm being crass. I'm not being crass. What did she say? Ha, ha. Can I have a baby? I'm so old. And I like the way she says it. Well, I even still want to try. Y'all didn't miss that, did you? Now, come on, grown-ups. Did y'all miss that? That's a valid question. Oh, I think it is. So let's look at three things super fast to get out of here. It's not strange for God to promise what seems impossible. Somebody ought to say amen right here. It's not strange for God to promise what seems impossible. If you go back and look at verses 9 and 10 in Genesis 18, he says, where is Sarah? In other words, he's already confronted Abraham. And he renamed Abraham and he renamed Sarah. But, like, where's Sarah? Well, she's in the tent. And so the Lord says to Abraham, I'm going to return in about a year and Sarah will have a child. It's not, and Sarah's in the tent. She goes, all right, so both of my grandmothers, and actually my great-grandmother that I spent a lot of time with, They all dip snuff. Now, young people, you might not know what this is. Some of it comes in a thing, looks like a roll of sausage. Sometimes it comes in a little can, and it's powder. It's tobacco made into powder. And I can see my grandmother, she would take a tablespoon, and I'm talking about a mountain, and she pulled that cheek over, and she put that stuff in there. And I always tried to make all of them giggle when they was doing it, because I wanted to see that little puff of brown smoke come out. It was a goal of mine. And I could do it to one of my grandmas. I could say, this is all I had to say every time I say, snort some. Browned up. And then invariably they would get choked and fuss at me, you know. You say, what's this got to do with this? Okay, Sarah laughed within herself. There wasn't even a puff of snuff dust. Is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Sarah laughed within herself. Sarah commented within herself. And we all do that. Like, I might say something here and say, I might say something crazy like, hey, you got somebody who you're out of sorts with. God can reconcile any relationship. And somebody would say, no, not this one. Just because I don't see your snuff snort don't mean you didn't laugh within yourself. And a lot of times, that's the moment we stop walking by faith. When within, we don't agree with what God has said without. Like some of y'all say, well, I've always been this way. And what you're saying is there's no way God can change me. Just because I don't see no snuff cloud don't mean there ain't a faithless cloud. I'm preaching. Some of y'all ain't realized it yet. So it's not strange for God to say, I can do anything. Okay? And then I'd say this, it's not strange for the people to react to God's promises with doubt. I do it all the time. God will tell me something, I go, oh, you know, I'll never get over that. I was just talking to Rob and Kathy right before. Y'all remember our little conversation? How could you forget? I was saying brilliant things, right? Amen. Say amen, Rob. For Pete's sake. And we were talking about, you know, can we label it this, Rob? Would this be a fair label? Painful things from my childhood. Is that a fair label? We might be tempted to say, I'll never get over that. Where does that lack faith? That lacks faith that we don't believe that God can heal us from even our greatest and deepest and longest wounds. See, am I making any sense? And it's the same thing Sarah said. I'm 90 years old. I can't have no baby. I don't even know if I want to try. That's when Abraham went to praying. Lord, please help her. Please help her, Lord. That'll take a while for some of y'all. She laughed. She laughed. The thing she wanted most of all was to have a child of her own. Yet she found it hard to believe at this stage in her life that God could do it and would do it. It's hard to hold on to the promises of God for a long, long time, but it is necessary to do so. It is necessary to endure discouragement, to endure seasons of faithlessness, to question and dig beyond our doubts, and to keep going back to the promises of God. It's necessary. Lastly and quickly, it's normal for God to grant assurance to his people's fears and doubts in himself. That's what he does in verse 14. He says, listen, is anything too hard for me? Is anything too marvelous for me? I mean, come on. Now, I wish I could over at the warehouse. You know, I wish I could tell those students, you know, when I was your age, I was only 5'7" and could dunk a basketball. And then they say, do it now. I go, oh, yeah, watch this. It just ain't happening. It just ain't happening. I think sometimes our frailty makes us think that God is frail. Our passing strength makes us think his strength will pass. It just won't. So what does he say? He says, is anything too hard for me? Now, you got to love Sarah. I laugh, God. And this seems almost, this is so earthy. God is down here. Like, where is Brett here? He's in the back. Brett, I hope you're watching. When Brett was early in his ministry at My Life Matters, that joker was all the time arguing with some third grader. And he still will. Am I right? People who know him, won't he still do it? You know how I say that God will do something? Say, won't he do it? Brett will argue with a third grader. Won't he do it? And I used to have to tell Brett, if you won this argument, it's with an eight-year-old. There's no trophies for this. Some of you parents need to hear that today. But think about how earthy this is and how God deals with people in such a precious way. He says, I ain't laugh. Yes, you did. You know, I need to see that God loves people beyond their fears and in spite of their doubts. I need to see that. And I need to see that he is willing to argue with me like the child that I am, because he's the dad that he is. Now, I was blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. My daughters were always pretty good in church. But, you know, when they were little, I used to sing in the choir. Another thing is hard to believe, I know. And they'd be doing something. I never stopped singing and be giving them the eye. It'd be just like this. You're a good, good father. Well, I've had times from this pulpit, I'd be preaching. I'd be like, and the Lord said. Anybody ever sense the Lord deals with them on just that level? I'm holding the whole universe together. I ain't missing a beat. And I'm talking to you, Casey Adams. It's normal for God to say, I've got this. Trust me. And that's the thing that's hardest for us, because we look at all the circumstances rather than the revelation. So tonight, okay, everybody who's sitting beside a man, look at that man and say, you ain't Abraham. Tell him. All right, everybody sitting beside a woman, look at them and say, you ain't Sarah. Wow. Why did y'all take so much more joy in that second part? Y'all all just, I can't, my snapper won't work. Wait a minute. You are Sarah. I didn't want her to leave with an identity crisis. Okay. In this case, you are not that Sarah. Amen. Could you see Sarah Shipley posting tonight on Facebook? Who am I? Everyone in church says I'm not Sarah. My Jesus. You're not that Sarah. Amen. So everybody take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Okay. The lineage of the Messiah does not depend on you. Who said thank God? Amen. And men, the lineage of the Messiah, doesn't depend on you. Okay? Peyton Allen did this symbol. He has some solidarity right there. Okay? But you've got your issues where you're struggling to believe God, and he hasn't changed. Now, what we need to see for our faith is faithful God carries through with faithless people. Can I say that again? Faithful God carries through with faithless people. Amen? That's what we need to see for, remember that word I taught y'all last week? Soteriological, the issues of theology that concern salvation. We need to see this. God was going to do this no matter how idiotic Abraham and Sarah were. Amen? And no matter how idiotic Isaac is and Jacob is and blah, 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 blah. Okay? God's good. Amen? But what we need to see too is this same faithful God will be the exact level of faithful to you that he's ever been to any of his children. Why? Because he's not capricious. He is not weak. He is not sleeping. He is alive, and he is able. So you don't have to be struggling. I'll pick on Kelly. Kelly, None of your kids are going to be the Messiah. We've already done that, right? But you got problems, right? You're dealing with that same God. Ian, you're not Abraham, okay? All this doesn't depend on you. Our salvation doesn't depend on your lineage. But you got issues that that faithful God will deal with. Matthew, you may look more like Abraham than some people. But you're not him, but he's still him. God is still God. So my question tonight is, will you let your dignity block your appeal? Will you let your dignity block your request? Will you let your dignity stop your hospitality? Or will you finally run quick to beg God to answer now? Hear my cry, O Lord. I know you can do, nothing's too hard for you. Nothing is too wonderful for you. Nothing is too marvelous for you. Everything is possible, and all of your promises are already yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Let the church say amen. Or maybe you've never begun your relationship with the Lord, and what you need to do is hear this word and run quick to believe it. Hurry to put your faith on Christ. Amen. One of the things I love to talk about Angel. I love to talk about Angel. Angel, my love. Angel, you came to North Carolina, and God stewed your salvation up real quick. And the moment you saw it made sense to believe, you believed. What an example you've been to us in this way. He done this. I don't get that much preaching. I think that was an 18-year-old amen, right? My dude. Be quick to say, yes, Lord. Am I making sense to anybody? Be quick to say, yes, Lord. And I don't know what your thing is right now. Maybe you need to come to the Lord for the first time. Maybe you need to be obedient in the next step of your faith and be baptized. Maybe you've got a sin you've been treasuring, and the Lord is calling you out and calling you to confess it to him, repent of it, seek accountability, and walk in freedom. Maybe you've been lazy. You heard the Lord say, I really should study my Bible more. I should become a person of prayer. I should get to know people at church. That was the Lord telling you those things. Say yes to the notion and commit God to the motion. Get to it. I'm going to trust the Lord to speak to your hearts. We don't do this all the time, but tonight, if I can pray for you, you come down. The altar is the most important thing. The altar is set aside for you to worship the Lord. We can worship him through thanksgiving, through repentance, through confession. There's many ways to worship the Lord. But it's important you run quick and bow at his feet. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You're a good, good father. You're just good, flat out good. And Lord, it's highly likely you're whispering at least something to all of us. Might we be quick to respond, even if the fullness of the answer takes a while to culminate. Might we be quick to respond to you. In Jesus I pray. Amen.